See? And so as long as you're a child, you're still safe. You can't live by fourth dimensional faith. You can't do it. See? And most of the body of Christ are children. Don't make no difference how many times, how long they've been in church. They on the deacon board. They play the organ. Makes no difference, you know, that their grandma bought all the pews. None of that matters. The only way you grow is by being taught by the Spirit of God from the Word of God. And when you, Jesus said, you know the truth, and that truth would make you free. And if you would continue in the Word, then you would be disciplined. You'd have fourth dimensional discipline in your life that three dimensional living won't dictate your life anymore. You talk about freedom. That's freedom, right? And so we see here a process of how we move forward in the things of God. And this is going to locate you today. This is, and it should inspire you to press in for more of what God has. And that sensitivity to God. For instance, I got up early this morning, my prayer time. You know, I was up and watched the hour shift, right? And when I was done with all that, I'm on the lower level, and I'm getting ready to come upstairs, and the Lord says, stay with me. I said, Lord, I don't want to lay my head down now. I'll preach here in a few hours. Stay with me. I said, well, what are we doing here? Just praying the Holy Ghost. I need some things done. I said, okay, okay. So that's what I did. And, you know, Mama Alberta said, well, what was you praying about? I don't know. Don't have to know. I might know later. But the point being is, as a child, you don't know that sensitivity. You're still dictated by your flesh. Your flesh says you're sleepy, so you lay down. Your flesh says you're hungry, so you feed it. Your flesh says, I want to be entertained, so you watch a movie. On and on and on. And you haven't developed. And I'm not saying you're not supposed to eat, not supposed to sleep, not supposed to watch a movie. I'm not saying that. I'm saying to stay as a child. Jesus said this, except you be converted and become as a child. And this is what's difficult for a lot of people, because they get born again when they're not 5 years old. They were 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, or whatever. And that's when they got born again. Now they got a head full of all this knowledge, and they think they got smarts. And God has to renew that smart mind. And how is he going to do that when you're arguing with how you've been educated all the way up to what he's trying to renew your mind with, right? And so you have to submit to God's counsel, become as a child, right? Mama Alberta talks about that all the time. She got born again when she was 45 years old. And, you know, she'd been around the world and back. She'd been self-sufficient by herself. She was making a lot of money and didn't have to leave that island. Right? So on and so forth. And she gave it all away and just told God, okay, everything. And when I got born again, I told the Lord, everything I thought I knew, I'm trashing it. Didn't know that Paul said that in the Word. I'm trashing that. All my street, I was street smart, you know, and all that, right? And I was smart on working on airplanes. And so on and so forth. And all of that, I said, whoa, wait a minute. Look where it's got me. It got me in a mess. And so I'm starting all over. Now follow this. Because God has a plan for you and I. And you see it in verse number 1. If you read verse number 1, it says this again, right? Verse number 1 says this again. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be what? Be what? Now follow this. The heir and the Lord of all are two different things. We're going to see this. We're going to see this morning. Because you're supposed to be Lord of all. I ain't talking about you being the Lord. How many of you know Revelation tells us that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? But the ultimate is that you be Lord of all, not heir. Heir is in being Lord of all. It's just like born again is in sozo. Are you following? God's ultimate is that you be Lord of all. Going to kick over some mindsets this morning. Right? Now that word Lord in the Greek is kurios. Supreme in authority controller. Now how many of you know you've been given the same authority as Jesus? To do what? To control your situations. Your life is not supposed to be out of control. Your mind is not supposed to be out of control. Your finances are not supposed to be out of control. Your marriage is not supposed to be out of control. Your kids are not supposed to be out of control. We live in an out of control world. It's messed up, right? But the kingdom is decent and in order. And so, ultimately, we are supposed to go from being a child to being in control, to be the supreme in authority over all of our endeavors. Now, it says Lord of all. That word all there is the Greek word pass. Pass. Hallelujah. Lord, controller of all, controller of anything, everything, the whole, all manner of, anyone, everyone. In other words, anyone, everyone that would contradict or stand in your way, you have supreme authority to bind that spirit that is trying to control you, trying to hold you back. Are you following this? But as a child, you don't know that. As a child, you don't know that. Now see, God's ultimate, Elder Trish, is for us to be lords of all. Not heirs. Heirs is a wonderful thing. We're going to look at that, right? But you need to understand that God's destination is for you and I to be controlling with our authority every situation that we have inherited. Are you following this? And living that kind of life. So, there is a maturing process then to go from being a child to being Lord of all. And it's not church attendance. Well, I've been going to that church for 20 years. But I don't, you know, thank God. I mean, you know, if you're going to that church for 20 years for the right reason, that's great. You should not be in child status anymore. Hallelujah. That means you don't get a fit of carnality. You don't get that luxury. No, no, no. See, it's going to locate you. It's going to locate you, right? Because God has an avalanche in the season that we're in. And we have to process through His Word and His Spirit to position ourselves as lords of all. Now, see, you know, I know somebody get all messed up in their head. Well, Pastor Philip, he's teaching everyone that they're Lord. No, I'm not teaching everyone that they're Lord. I'm teaching everyone that you are Lord's. Little L. I wouldn't even capitalize the L when I sent the my notes up here. I don't even capitalize the L. Right? We little L's. Look at your neighbor and say, you a little L. Hallelujah. So a child who is to be Lord of all must first learn what it is to be servant of all. Didn't get nothing there. A child that is to be Lord of all, simply stating, in control of their life, in control of their circumstances, right? Every child that is to be Lord of all must first learn to be servant of all. Still ain't getting none. Let me just go all the way back here. The child that is to be Lord of all must first learn how to be servant of all. Yeah, I got the right bunch back here now. Hallelujah. Now, this is, we're going somewheres. Because to be servant of all, well, let's go there. Mark, hold your place here. Mark in chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. What an awesome reality that God would entrust lordship to you and I. What an awesome, awesome responsibility. But it don't come on you because you're cute. Look at it in Mark chapter 10. Verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise what? Lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now look at verse 44 again. Whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. So there is a process. A child who is going to be Lord of all, it tells us that he's under tutors and governors until that time appointed of the Father. See, it used to be when you went to school, if you didn't pass the test, they failed you. At least when I was in school. I remember going from second grade to third grade, and there was a guy sitting in there when we got there. And the teacher was being real kind and said, so-and-so is going to stay with us another year. He failed, right? Right? But nowadays, they just pass you on through. Now we got kids can't even read and write, much less add 2 plus 2. And everything is this, right? Come on now. And then they adopt this entitlement. I mean, they're just, you know, the government ought to be taking care of me because I'm a U.S. citizen, blah, 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 right? But in the kingdom, whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. So, what is God going to teach his little children? Right? What's he going to teach his little children? How to sing in the choir? How to preach from the pulpit? Come on now. Follow this, because there's a progress in here, a process rather, well, in progress. So a child who is to be Lord of all must first learn what it is to be servant of all. Okay, so let us go to 1 Peter and chapter 2. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Verse number 1, 1 Peter 2, 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Okay. Look at verse 1, babes in Christ, laying aside all malice. We got people in the church, when I say church as a whole, they're still struggling with that. All guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. This is part, as a child, you got to learn to get rid of that. Now see, when I got born again, I had a hunger for the word, but I still was an angry man. Even though I've been delivered from drugs and alcohol, I still had this anger thing. And, you know, I tried my best to get rid of it. I ain't going to get angry at Alberta today. And I wouldn't make it to noon. Right? And right here it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So you're supposed to want the milk of the word, but you're supposed to lay that aside. So how do you do that? See, it's more than just drinking from the bottle. There's a process that you must do as you are growing. And so when you're desiring the sincere milk of the word, it helps you lay aside the malice, the guile, the hypocrisy, the envies, and the evil speaking. Because the Holy Ghost starts dealing with you on all that. You a Christian now. You don't act like that. And you read the word and you say, oh my, yeah, I ain't supposed to do that. And you're starting to milk the word and overcome these areas. This is what a child does, right? Because God wants to get you to meat of the word. Then he wants to get you to strong meat. Then he wants to get you to what? Honey, right? Right? So The process then, Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, right? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it, right? So there's a training that when you're born again, you're supposed to be in a, this is school. This ain't a social scene. This is school. This is where you come in and learn the Word of God, not come in and socialize. We thank God for fellowship. We thank God for seeing each other and hugging on each other and high-fiving or whatever and encouraging one another, whatever it may be, right? We thank God for that. But this is a learning center. This is where you're supposed to come in and grow. Are you following this? Not hear the rerun over and over again that Jesus died on the cross for you. And you need to get saved to escape hell. Well, once you do that, okay, you got Jesus in your heart. Now how do you escape the hell that's in the world? Come on. And you gotta be taught the Word of God. You gotta be set under tutors and governors until God says you're ready. Until God says. See, what you've sown for, what you're confessing in, if you haven't gone through the process, he's not going to give it to you and watch it destroy you. Ain't getting no leaps this morning, ain't getting no shouts, but that's all right. Because this word right here will change your life forever. Now follow this, because you are to be the controller of your life. You are supposed to be in control. You are supposed to be a landlord. Hallelujah. Okay. So, the first period that a born-again believer is supposed to go into is a training period. Yeah. We're always in training. But a training period on how, what, and when to serve others. You might want to write that down. Child training period. This is how, what, and when to serve others. You got to learn that. I don't care that you were a waitress. This is a different ball game. Right? And so in this training period, we're going to get to the lordship area. But we got to pass through these other four areas. And most Christians want to be at the Lord of all area. That's where others serve you. And most Christians want that instead of serving others. Well, we just read where Jesus said he didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister to others. I better back up. He had a huge minister base that ministered unto him of their substance. But he was at a lordship area. Are you following this? So, as a child, that's the training period on how, what, and when to serve. This is where humility comes in. This is where true submission comes in. And people, because they've been manipulated and controlled, shepherded, or, they come out of a real controlling marriage or just a boss that they could never do anything right for or whatever, they had some kind of experience that is keeping them standoffish when it comes to servitude, because they made up their mind they'll never be taken advantage of again. And so because of it, they've built a wall. And then God brings the real truth to them, and they're trying to embrace it through a wall. That wall's got to come down if you're going to experience the goodness of God. There has to be. God's still got clean voices in the land, folks. There are people you can trust, right? Okay, now let's go into the next period. It's servant. You go from child training period to servant service period. This is service period in actual hands-on servitude to others. In the child training period, you're being taught how, when, and where, how to serve. Now you're actually doing it. Now you're actually doing it. This is what the world calls OJT, on-the-job training, right? You know, when you get a job, a new job, they'll put you through a training period. And they'll say, this is what you're going to be doing. Then they actually take you into the job site, or they take you on in your little cubicle, whatever the job situation may be, right? And now you're doing hands-on of what you had just been trained to do, right? And that's why service is so important in servitude to others. Look at it, and you never, ever, even when you get to lordship, you never, ever stop serving. Never.
Well, Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends.
He was saying, you've developed a covenant relationship, and you're beyond just a servant that does things. Friend is a covenant term, right? And now you're doing and serving in covenant. Now, watch this. Over here in 1 Corinthians 9, and verse number 19, 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Come on now. And if you go and look at the letters, when I say the letters, I'm talking about after the book of Acts, you'll see the writers identify themselves as servant of God, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are apostles, right? Right? And here you got the apostle Paul saying, I've made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more, right? Jesus made himself of no reputation, remember that? But took upon him the form of a servant. Most Christians, they want to be served, and they do not want to serve. Most churches are drama churches. I ain't talking about they're putting on a play. I'm talking about people come in with their drama, and they want to cry on everybody's shoulder, and no truth that'll set them free is ever given. And so I come in crying, and you're supposed to serve me by giving me your shoulder. serve me, serve me, serve me. But then when you want to serve them the word, now all of a sudden you don't have no feelings. You don't care. You don't have no compassion. You seeing this? You seeing this? We got to get out of this welfare state not only in America, but in the church. Come on now. Though I be free from all men, yet have I made my servant unto all, made myself a servant unto all. You see this? So that second step, from you're going from child, that training period on how, what, and when to serve others, to graduate to being a true servant. Now this is on the way to being Lord of all. A service period in actual hands-on servitude to others. See, I've been a supervisor at Ronald Reagan's Star Wars in Kwajalein Island, running the whole flight line for the scientists on mission day to get them where they got the islands they got to get to. I got to have those birds ready to go. I'm doing that at 26 years old. And then at 28, I get saved, soon to turn 29, and all of a sudden, whoa, 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 right? I'm a supervisor, right? Now all that, there's got to be a shift. That old reputation and that old ability has to come under the counsel of God. And I have to submit to God and resist the devil. Come on now. And that submission to God is being a doer of the word. No matter what. No matter if it don't make no sense to me. No matter if it don't feel right. No matter if it don't seem right. What does the word say? The word says tithe. Okay, we tithing. The word says give. Okay, we're giving. The word says pray. Okay, we're praying. The word says study. Okay, we're studying. The word says go to church. Okay, we're going to church. And all of that was preparing me so that God could get me to serve. So there I am, baby Christian, wanting, got a call of God on my life. He spoke to me in an audible voice. Philip, I called you to play at my feet on my stage. Look out, world. And I go into the men's bathroom, and there's paper towels all over the floor. I said, look at these Christians. And the Lord said, pick them up. I said, I didn't throw them down there. He said, pick them up. I said this, they got a full-time janitor that's getting paid to do that. I said, pick it up. Matter of fact, you're going to keep picking it up. You're going to keep cleaning these bathrooms, and you're not going to let anybody see it until I say stop. I wanted everyone to see what I was doing. Would I be picking all that up, wiping down the counters, flushing the toilets? Are you kidding me? You don't know how to flush a toilet? Nasty. And if somebody would come in, I'd act like I was going to the bathroom or washing my hands or something, you know, until they leave. And then they had, back in the day when they had the overhead projectors up there, they put the lyrics up there, and they had the little 8, 9, 10-year-old kids doing that. Ain't they cute? And the Lord said, I want you to do that. Church of 1,000 people. I got some dignity. I'm not 8 or 10 years old. Get up there and do that. Trish was there. Okay. All right. And the Lord said, why don't you get into it? There's a flow there. I said, what do you mean? Because they had the list stuck up there, taped up there on that little projector head. And I'm just one right after another. He said, you ain't even praising me. You ain't even in the flow of what could happen. I said, what are you talking about? He said, get into the flow and I'll show you things. So I said, okay. So I'd pray before I do that instead of just getting up there mechanical. Because there's something that the Lord's trying to teach me about how to lead praise and worship that I wasn't yet ready for. And the anointing. And so when I started doing that, I had the next one ready. I'm gonna be good at this. Because it was frustrating watching the little kids when the next song come up and they're up there with their finger in their ear. And somebody says, the next one, I'm going to make sure that everything's just right. And I have the next one ready. And the Lord said, they're not going that song. I said, what do you mean? It's right there on the list. They're not going that song. Well, I didn't listen. And they went to another song, and there I am trying to dig it out. And then I said, okay, you were trying to tell me. And so I started listening. And I knew where they were going. And then all of a sudden, when the pastor would come down and that anointing was moving, I'm the closest person to that anointing. And I'm like, ooh, okay. Ah, all right. See, before it was, why do I got to do this? See? Anybody following this? Right? Hallelujah. So there is a service period and actual hands-on servitude to others, and it may not be like what you think. Then you get to sonship, daughtership, if you will. This is a third step. This is the faithfulness period of supervised and unsupervised servitude. You are not considered faithful in God's eyes if you've never served. And I ain't talking about you running, cleaning the bathrooms. There's all kinds of ways that we serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You serve the Lord in your giving. You serve the Lord in your attendance. You serve the Lord in exhorting and all, there's all kinds of ways of servitude. Are you following this? Okay, so from a child, you graduate to a servant, and after you have served and become faithful, you are now into sonship, daughtership. Are you following this? You know, it says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God, right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, see, you went from being trained, you went from just automatic servitude when you see things that need to be done and you're being a servant to being led now. This is a different ball game, right? You're being led by the Spirit of God. Yeah, well, the Lord's led me to be the lookout for the church. I'm the watchdog. Well, the Bible says watch out for them watchdogs. Come on. I really don't take too much listening counsel to people I know that don't serve. I just know that what they're saying is advice. The other day we were here getting ready to record the vocals for the Unstoppable album, and we got talking about phase two, and I said, well, let's go up there. And Joseph said, I want to go. Come on. And Donald and Desnor, and we went up there, and we're trying to figure out a solution. And see, I want their advice, because I've seen what their advice has done in the past. But their advice and my advice, we finally concluded we got to pray more, because we didn't get the answer, right? But what I wanted, I value their advice, because I know of their servitude. I've seen how we have a work day and they show up no matter what they had planned for their family. They show up anyhow. That's servitude. Come on now. Well, other people, you got to sit there and drag them out, and then they'll come out for 2 hours, and then you turn around, where are they at? And they said they had to go do something. They're gone. Right? Well, I'm on something right now. Well, I'll do anything they ask me to. See, you're one of them. Instead of volunteering, instead of saying, hey, and is there anything we need to do here? Is there anything that we can assist you with? Yeah, well, we need that back room cleaned up. Anything besides that? I want to be in the video. Well, take a selfie with that broom in your hand. No. Understand this, because we're talking about your harvest. We're talking about what you've sown for. All these things we're making a little funnies out of it. But it's really a serious thing, because there's a lot that has to be done. You know, when it comes to electricity, we calling on Ricky, right? And Ricky be working all day long, got kids, wife, and here Ricky shows up, right? And he don't sit there and say, I'm not on staff. I'm not getting paid. You didn't say none of that, right? Servant's heart. A servant's heart. Come on, follow this. Because all of that is more than just building a building. If the building was already built, we still got to be serving in the church. Servitude never stops. And serving outside the church, right? See, are you following this? Okay, lords. So, we go from the child training period on how, what, and when to serve others, to we graduate to being a servant, a service period and actual hands-on servitude to others. Then, we get to that matured son and daughter faithfulness period of supervised, now watch this, and unsupervised servitude. That's the biggie. Anybody can be doing excellent work when the boss man's there. But are you still doing excellent work when the boss ain't there? That is faithfulness. A faithful man will abound in blessings, not just enough to get by. Not just to make a showing, so when the boss comes back, it looks like you done something. No, but being faithful, supervised or unsupervised. The reason you're supervised is because they want to make sure that you have matured into this place where they are allowing you to function now. and they watch you to see if you're going to be operating that way. And then their hope is that they can leave you and you continue in that same fashion. See? Quiet in here. Y'all were a little peppy when I was talking about lords of all control. Yeah, glory be to God. Getting this servant area and it's okay. See? Well, think about it. We want to think of ourselves, those of you that have been born again for a little bit of time, we want to think of ourselves as somewhat matured. Don't we? Don't we? Because you don't cuss anymore. What is a sign of maturity is faithfulness. Faithfulness. That is a sign of maturity. Hallelujah. Okay. I'll just do it myself. Preach. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Yes. Thank you, Petey. I can count on Petey. You're not faithful if you've never served. Well, I sing on the worship team. Wonderful. That's a privilege. If you look at it as a chore, look at your neighbor and say, Pastor is pastoring this morning. I got to get you to lordship. And you're not going to go there just because you show up on Sunday. There's a process to be Lord of all. You got to learn to be servant of all. Period. You're not going to be Lord of all without being servant of all. So we've seen the child training period, the servant servitude period, and then the sonship, daughtership, faithfulness period. Now we get to the heir. See, we want to bypass all this. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's what he said going into this. All right, here we go. A wealthy man dies and leaves everything to his 8-year-old son. Son doesn't have a mother. He is the sole heir. That father, foreseeing that the son cannot run that business without learning what he learned on how to serve, he puts in the will, though he be Lord of all, that he has to go through the ranks to know how these machines work, to know how to serve others, to know how to teach others, to get all the way up. Even though it is written in the will that he's Lord of all, there's a time appointed that unless he doesn't pass all these requirements, he ain't never getting it. And you can read what is written. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. All you want to. But if you don't grow and graduate through these stages, you're kidding yourself. This is the heir stage. This is the exemplified period. Exemplified. This is where you are an example. God can now use you as an example while you are faithfully teaching others to serve. Now, instead of you being taught, your life has a reflection. It has a demonstration. It has manifestation of some degree. So your life as an heir is exemplifying to others, look, I was a 14-year drug addict drunk. Look at me now. Are you following? And your life has it's an example that people can see, and at the same time, you're teaching others to serve while serving yourself. That's how you're serving. You are now a tutor and a governor. You are now teaching from actual being an heir, walking in a degree of your inheritance, that people can see something in your life and they say, look at that. He once was a child and he started to serve and matured into a son. And now he's got that inheritance working in his life. Are you following this? But he's still not Lord. Still not Lord. You remember in Galatians 3, it says those that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He had to come up through the ranks. He had to do what you and I are doing, except we got the Word, we got the Holy Ghost, we got the fivefold ministry, we got the church, we got all these learning centers to quicken us, right? And when you just come to church, and now listen, when you first find out about the truth of God's Word, there's a space where God just wants you to come and learn. Just come in here and rejoice and be happy that you're learning the Word of God and that truths are being presented to you. That's a nursery time where you're being nursed the Word of God, and God is just pouring into you, right? But there's going to come a time when you'll start getting a little unction I'd like to help out on the next time we have a tent meeting. I'd like to help out on this, on that. Is there anything I can do? You know, just you're starting to sense something. It's in the heart of every truly born-again believer to want to serve. It's just we want to pick how we want to serve. And how we pick, that ain't how it's going to be. It ain't going to be like that. Nope. And I've watched takers. They're just takers. That's all they do. Take. Never giving. They just take. What's in it for me? That's a baby. See, and you got to be trained out of what's in it for me, to what's in me that I can give out. Are you following this? Okay. I can see this is going up on, don't overload the internet. downloading this. Look at Hebrews. Talking about heir. Because when you realize what's in your inheritance, shoo, there's nothing left out. Nothing. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of a few things, of some things, of most things. All things. He told Abraham he's the heir of the world. Folks, there's nothing left out of your inheritance except your submission, your faithfulness. See? And if you are just doing enough to get by, if you're just doing, well, pastor comes in and he just beat us up this morning. He don't realize I put in my 40. You don't want to match that. I'd wear you out in 2 weeks. Just with praying and studying. You couldn't keep up. You think you could. You think you could. You might physically endure it, but you'd be like, man, them 2 weeks up, yeah. Because you got your routine, right? This is not the workplace for me. This is where what I have worked comes forth. I understand it's still work. You understand what I'm saying? But the real work is at the house. Right? Studying and praying and rejoicing and planning and so on and so forth. But God knew. He knows your work schedule. He does. And he knows your goofy time schedule. What's that? That's when you're just goofing off. Well, I don't have none of that. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Right? And it's real easy to get your goofy time mixed up with your God time. To where goofy time is outweighing your God time. Now see, this is when I get accused of being legalistic. This is where I get accused of being, you know, a slave driver. And, you know, you go to that church, it's like being in basic training. That comes from people who've never been in basic training.
Well, I went to that church like I was in basic training.
You ain't never been basic training. Shut up. You watched a movie. Hallelujah. So, as an heir and a joint heir with Jesus, we have at our disposal all things. Now remember, we're going to the final stage of Lord of all. And remember the definition of kurios was everything. There was nothing left out. It wasn't just a select few things that you and I are Lord over. It's everything. Everything. Now, folks, that puts the responsibility on us, not on God. But if we use our faith from our position of covenant, it puts the pressure on God. And he loves it. That's why our faith pleases him, because now he can reward that. Are you following this? Okay, so we're heirs. This exemplified period, we're faithfully teaching others to serve. Now look at Matthew 21, because that devil doesn't want you and I operating in our inheritance. Matthew 21. In verse 33, Jesus talking says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they may receive the fruits of it," or get the harvest. "And the husbandmen took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned another. And again, he sent other servants more than the first. They did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." Now, this parable is Jesus talking about himself. And he's talking about the servants that went before him, the prophets and those leaders that were proclaiming his arrival and the kingdom coming. And they would kill the prophets. They would stone the prophets. They would do all this. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. That's why the devil, in 40 days of temptation, said, "Are you the Son of God?" Right? Because if they can stop the heir, then they can stop the inheritance. That's why the devil wants to stop you, even though you're an heir on paper. Even though the will says it, the time appointed of the Father is when you are actually serving in the kingdom, not just because you have to, not just because somebody needed you to, but because you now have a servant's heart and you are being faithful in that category. Now you're elevated to that a level of heirship, if you will, being an heir, to where inheritance can now be starting to manifest in your life. And the devil wants to stop you from ever receiving your inheritance, because when you have demonstration of God's inheritance in your life, it's going to attract people that knew you when you was a child. Does anybody see that? See, so that brings us back to the Lord of all. Galatians. Now this ought to be speaking to you in a whole lot broader fashion. Galatians 4:1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." Lord of all. This is the honored period. This is the honored period. Being served while faithfully serving others by honorable authority. This is the honored period. Being served. Now you got people serving you. While faithfully serving others by honorable authority. Now let me explain that more in 3D. Because in 3D we understand it more than we do in 4D. In a new job, there should be first a training period. Right? Second, a service period. Right? Third, a faithfulness period. Right? Fourth, an exemplified period. Right? Then fifth, the final period, the honored period. Now, breaking that down, that honored period is you the boss. You the boss. You got a company, and you hire on a new person, and they come in, well, we're going to train you. This is what we do. Here's how we do it. And after you see them say, okay, and they pass whatever, okay, now we're going to take you out, and you're going to start doing that. Right? And we're going to show you, or somebody else there is going to be doing it beside you, and they're going to instruct you and show you, actually, instead of just out of a book, this is what you're going to be doing. Right? And then they take you out and say, all right, now you do it. This is the faithfulness part. You do it. And the guy's watching you, making sure you're doing it right. And then once he sees you got it right three or four times, he says, hey, you got it. And I'm going to go do this. I know you got that. I'll come back and check on you. Right? You following this? And then, you know, through all that, your boss is promoting you because your worth is more valuable now than when you were in training. Because now you can make the boss money because of what you are faithful in knowing how to do versus being trained. Then he promotes you to a place, now I want you to train. You're the one doing the training, right? And so you get another promotion because you're training others. Now you're the one that is supervising to see if they're going to be faithful over that. And now you're the one that's walking away believing that they'll remain faithful, right? And then on top of that, the boss man says, I'm retiring. You're in charge. I give you this whole business. Now watch this. Now you're being served by the employees while at the same time you've come up through the ranks. You know what it was like to be on the bottom. Cleaning up the factory. You know what it was like just being in shipping and packing things out. You know what it was like to work long hours to get that shipment out, to get that job completed. You were out in the rain digging a ditch or whatever it may be. See, I led by example. I refused rain gear. Refused it. All my mechanics, they come out with their rain gear. I said, what's that for?
Well, you know, we got hold of the tower, and they said a shower's coming in.
So what's that got to do with that?
Well, they issue this rain gear. Okay. Okay, rain gear. And here comes the shower. and they got all the rain gear on, and they walk around. Can't work in that. Airplane got to be up flying in an hour. You out there can't even move in that thing. Not the Marshallese. They ain't had no rain gear. We're soaked. We got to get this bird up in the air. And I come out of the office, up in the engine, cranking wrenches, while the Americans are in their little rain gear. Finally, they got a revelation. You can't work in that stuff. I done messed with your rain gear now. Hallelujah. But all I had to do was tell my guys, just got off the phone, job control, they need those two birds up. Bam! It didn't make no difference if it was time to punch out. They're staying. Whether they get paid or not. I made sure they got paid. But that's the dedication. Serving. They made me look good. And I took care of them. Got them their licenses. Got them their promotions. Every hour of overtime, they got it, even though the boss man was saying, we can't be giving on all that over. I said, you want them airplanes? You want me to just turn it over third shift? No, we don't want you to do that. Pay them. Come on now. Mama Alberta bring hamburgers and french fries down from the snack bar. All of us working through lunch. Got to keep these wrenches cranking. Hallelujah. When you have come up through the ranks versus you take somebody that, all right, let's go back to the factory here example. The boss says, I'm going to retire. And my son, that's been in college, I'm going to turn it over to him. Now, y'all be kind of lenient. He don't know nothing much about this, but he's my son. How many of you know the employee's going to have to train this cat? Man, I've heard those stories in Vietnam. They take a second lieutenant and put him out there in the field with these Army Marines that have been out there for 6 months, you know, and just, I mean, they know guerrilla warfare. And here comes this schooled guy saying, this is what they taught me at West Point. And they look at him and say, look, we ain't in West Point. These are real bullets, and we'd like to obey you, but you're not going to kill us. This was happening. I've heard story after story like that. See? But when you've graduated to that honorary place, right, and now people are serving you because they're not looking at it like, Master, I know I'm a slave. They're not looking at it like that. It's an honor. It's the law of honor. This guy has done it. He is, and if need be, he'd do it again. Right? Are you following this? This is Lord of all. That is where we should be going. All of us. I ain't talking about where you're a boss of a factory. I'm talking about where you're the boss of your life. And the devil ain't bossing you around. Come on now. Life ain't bossing you around.
Finances ain't bossing you around. Pain ain't bossing you around. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. See? Boy, they tried to stop me. They tried to stop me from promoting the Marshallese. I put the paperwork in, and we go by, 2 weeks go by, a month go by. I go next door. Hey, what about those promotions? Well, you know, the Army's reviewing. No, the Army ain't reviewing. You don't want them to have it. You've heard the story, but it comes up, and I'm preaching. I'm 25, 26, working in, hired on mechanic, 15. That was a pay grade. High as you could go was 21. And you heard me talk about changing that rudder out when nobody on the island had ever done it from the time that airplane had been there. And all of a sudden it gets all the way up to the top echelon. And they said, well, bring that boy up here. We could use him on the line. And then they started looking at my Air Force where I worked on C-5s and C-141s, and said, get him up here as a lead man. So that was a 17. So I got up there, and I just jumped two grades in just a 2 or 3 months. And then all of a sudden, the 21 that I was working under is going to leave the island. So they're going to groom me to be a 21. Which is a huge promotion now. And plus it comes with housing and all this other stuff. And the other two 21s were old guys. And one worked day shift, and I was working day shift. And the hardest shift was second shift because you're still launching airplanes for the evening flights, but then when they come back in, you got to get all the maintenance done before the morning flights, before it all starts all over again. Day shift, if an airplane broke down, they just tow it out of the way and put up a backup airplane. We would get the broke airplane. And then I couldn't turn it over to third shift because on third shift, they were just two people. A 21 and a mechanic. That was it. Because they didn't normally launch during that time. So, and if they did launch, we have to stay there and work it. Right? So I get everything. And then these 21s don't like it that here I am, 26 years old, and doing all this stuff. All I'm doing is just working. And so when they're talking about a 21, they got seniority, so they get to choose what shift they want. They throw me on second shift, and they take all the mechanics, the A&P mechanics, airframe and power plant mechanics, they take them from those shifts and put them on day shifts, and they give me Marshallese. And they think that did it. Now, the Marshallese can't read the book. See? But you show them one time, and they don't forget. So I took the book out to the airplane. I said, you see that right there where it says fuel gauge? That's what that is right there. And you see where it says it's supposed to be between 500 and 600? That's what that's saying. That then it's right. Okay, boss. Got it. I had them guys run up qualified. They're running up airplanes, taxing them. And these A&P mechanics can't. Right? Then they bring in the new birds. And they won't send any of my Marshallese guys to school on this new airplane. They're having school right on the island. They got these tech guys out there, but they'll send me. I said, why are you sending me and you're not sending any of my guys? Well, they're Marshallese. Right, they're my guys. They ought, well, they ain't got no A&P license. I said, okay, all right. Send your experts. True story. I went to that school. All the rebels, the Americans, are in there. I'm looking around. Some of the laziest mechanics you ever seen. And so we all graduated our engine school. And we go back out there. And an airplane comes in that they're losing number two engine in flight on the new airplane. And the boss calls me in. He said, they're losing number two engine in flight. Won't you fix it? I said, oh, ain't fixing that. What do you mean you're not fixing it? My guys ain't been to school. You got to get your school guys out there. You want to say something? Say it to the Army. And I'll say it to the Army too. Get your experts out there. So all those guys that went to school, out there on that airplane, one day goes by. 2 days go by. Now the Army's out there walking on the pad, wanting to know why that airplane. I mean, they just paid for these airplanes to be there. Why ain't this airplane flying? 3 days go by. I come in to work. Boss calls me in there. And you understand, these bosses don't know nothing about airplanes. They don't know. They don't even know what I'm talking about. And they said, Philip, we got to get that airplane up. So what are you telling me? What about your experts? And I was like that. I talked to them like that. And they said, they don't know what's wrong with it. So what do you want me to do about it? We know you can figure it out and fix it. Would you fix it? Yeah, I'll fix it. On this condition. What's that? Nobody touches that airplane but my guys. What do you mean? Nobody touches. I'm not turning it over and then having these goofballs go out there and start tearing something up and then we're getting blamed for it. I want to start and finish, no matter how many hours it's going to take. You keep those other two shifts off of it. And they backed into a corner. Right? So I called the Marshallese. I said, guys, we out there now. Because I don't know what's wrong with this airplane. But I know that book will tell us something. And I'm telling you what, we went in there, and those Marshallese, and found out that it was a gravity feed fuel system. In other words, the fuel tanks were on top of the airplane, and there were no fuel pumps pumping to the engine. It's gravity feed. I said, uh-huh. Now we just got to find out where it's clogged, right? And we ripped that airplane apart, and we found a little check valve. The Marshallese found a little check valve and said, look here, boss. It works sometimes and don't work sometimes, right? We swapped that thing out. Airplane flew. They want to know how we fix it. Send your experts to school. From that moment on, the superintendent of maintenance came down, said, Philip, we need an engine change on this brand new airplane. I said, an engine change? Yeah, this happened. And I know that nobody else can do it. Will you change this engine? I said, none of my guys went to school. I know that. Everybody knows that. But everybody knows ain't can nobody fix this thing. 24 hours later, it's true. They still talk about it. 24 hours later, the engine has been taken off, a new one reinstalled, all the MOC, maintenance operational checks, have been checked out, and the airplane's ready for an FCF, functional check flight. We flew it perfect, 24 hours. That's how they were serving me. The Marshallese were burning. Nobody left. We worked 24 straight hours. Now, folks, we're doing more than launching an airplane around here. Come on now. You need to understand the mission that we got going on here. See? And understand that there is a graduation process for you to be Lord of all. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you are showing us and teaching us how to succeed. And we know it's more than just quoting scripture. We know it's more than just dropping a seed in the bucket. But there's a process that you're doing in us and through us. Teach us to serve. Teach us, Lord, to recognize faithfulness for what it is. And I thank you, Lord God, that these people, these precious people that you brought into this house, they have a servant's heart. And I thank you, Lord God, as we all serve together, that what you called us to do will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these your people as they go their way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them now out of the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Go in the joy of the Lord. Enjoy your fun day, and we'll see you Tuesday night. Be a blessing.